want you to go to two passages of Scripture tonight. I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 34, and I want you to hold your place there, and I want you to go to 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22, 2 Chronicles 34. Let me tell you a story. You don't know this man, but he's my age. That means he's knocking on 70. His name's David Stanford. David Stanford. I believe that when we get at the judgment seat of Christ, that name is going to be honored greatly. Let me tell you about David. He's been a lifelong friend of mine. God saved him when he was 5. God called him to preach when he was 6. I have known him since we were in the 10th grade. I've known of his testimony since that time. From being 15 years old at the same time to now knocking on 70, in all of those decades that have ensued since we became friends, I have never one time, not one, known of him to act like a fool when it comes to spiritual things. I've never known him to be out in sin. I've never known him to have a bad testimony. Let me tell you the closest thing that he ever come in my mind to being crazy about. I have never been one to go egging. Now, some of you know exactly what I mean when I say egging. You go by and you just pop somebody with an egg. It could be a house. It could be a car. David, as a high school student, when he got his driver's license, now this is the worst thing that he's ever done. David had a little Honda. I'm talking about like a little baby Honda. Like the kind that you can, you know, pick up one end of it. Had another guy named Bobby Sanks. And I think Bobby had a Volkswagen. Their idea of a fun Friday night in Savannah, Georgia, was to chase each other up and down Victory Drive throwing eggs at one another. And they would say, man, you ought to get involved in this. This is so much fun. And all I'm thinking is, I would much rather take a girl out on a date than I would go egging. But from 15 years old when I met David, all the way to today, he has always served God. He has never swerved right or left. He has always been faithful in his love for God. He was going to be a missionary. He wanted to be a missionary to the country of Argentina. He went to Bible college, met a girl. Matter of fact, her name was Debbie. Good name. And so they got married. They went on deputation. They went to Argentina. But the culture was so different that she couldn't stay, and so he came home. But when he came home, he did not get bitter. He just served the Lord here. He worked on the staff of a church over in Florence, South Carolina for many, many years. Great church. He then went to Savannah, which is our old stomping grounds. Not in Savannah, but just outside. There's a little place called Pooler. Pooler, Georgia. He started a church. And he got that church up to usually about somewhere around 100, 110. And ultimately he ended up leaving. And he went to North Carolina. And he works on the staff of a church. He's out in the middle of nowhere. The name of the church is Mud Creek. How would you like to be a member of a Mud Creek church? And that's where he is at tonight, serving God from the time that he was a little guy all the way through. Now, He had good stock in his parents. I know the Stanfords personally. They're both in heaven now. But I'm just saying that God can take young people and do something special with them. And I hope that you understand that. I guess I had this kind of driven home to me this past Wednesday when we had the Awana Awards night. I kept watching these kids, and all I'm thinking is, Lord, do you have one of these youngsters that is going to do something magnificent for you? Because we don't ever know when that's going to happen. Tonight, I want us to look at a young man that before he was ever born, God already knew about him. I want you to think about a man named Josiah, but he was a young man when he died, but he started when he was just a child. He is called Good King Josiah. The title of the message tonight is Turn Not to the Right or to the Left. Now, can you imagine that kind of testimony? Now, a lot of times as a kid growing up, I would hear testimonies of people that would come in and they would give these massive testimonies about how they got saved after they had lived a life of sin. Probably the best known that in my mind that I remember when I was growing up was Carl Hatch. Carl Hatch used to come to the Atlanta area, and he would preach revivals and have soul-winning crusades for Curtis Hudson when Dr. Hudson was in Decatur. And I went to high school with his daughter. Her name's Debbie, by the way. A lot of Debbies back then. You know, that was a popular name. But Carl Hatch talked in his testimony. He talked about he was a drunk. He talked about how that he had committed every sin in the book but murder, and he was going to do that. And he said, and he fell drunk in the snow up in Michigan, and somehow he was saved as a result of being taken to a hospital. God saved him, and then he became an evangelist, and people would go, wow, what a testimony. But do you know the better testimony? David Stanford. He was saved when he was 5, called to preach when he was 6. He was in the beginner department. He was in the primary department. He was in the junior department. He was in junior high. He was in senior high. He was in Bible college. And he went to the mission field. And ultimately, he was in the ministry. And there was never one time, unless you count throwing eggs at each other, never one time that I know of that he ever got out of the traces. Good King Josiah is a young man like this. Now, his father and his grandfather, not good at all. But there was something about this young man. Now, we'll not turn to it, but it's over in 1 Kings. And 100 years before Josiah was ever born, the Lord gave a prophecy and said, there's going to be a young man, and his name will be Josiah. It's one of the reasons, I mean, you just see him by the hundreds, why that you know that the Bible is God's word, because only God can do that kind of stuff. And so you have got this young man, but something had happened during the reign of his father and his grandfather. The people of God had gone away from God. Why is that? Because there was a generation that did not value the word of God. Ronald Reagan said this, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Or one day we will spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it was once like in the United States where men were free. I don't know about you, but I miss those kind of words from a president. And so you've got Reagan that said that as far as our nation and the survival of our nation. But can I tell you that exact same thought fits for Christianity? I see in America, I see our churches getting weaker. I don't see churches on an ascending path. I see them on a descending path. I see churches that no longer hold to the principles of the Word of God. They're willing to let any and everything come into their pulpits. They're willing to let any and everything pass as worship. I mean, if it's worldly, they're good for it. I mean, after all, we're trying to reach the world. Well, I've never been a believer in that I got to be a drug addict to reach a drug addict. I don't have to be a drunk to reach a drunk. I don't have to be an adulterer to be someone that reaches an adulterer. And so we have a generation that has not embraced. Why is that? Well, Stephen Armstrong made this statement. He said, one generation didn't teach the Word of God, and then the next generation embraced idolatry. One generation failed to preach and reverence the Word of God, and the next generation was ignorant of the Word of God. And I thought, you know, I think he's right about that. One of the things that I pray to God when my time comes to a close as pastor of this church, and I hope that's way down the road, but who knows what the timing of the Lord is. When that happens, I hope that I'm able to walk out the doors and say, I gave them the Word of God multiple times a week. Because it's the Word of God that changes people's lives. It's not my personality. It's not my vocabulary. It's not my abilities. It's the Word of God that holds the power to change people's lives. This happened in this young man's life. And so I want you to see three things, and I'm going to try to motor through this because we've got a very important meeting tonight. Number one, I want you to see he was influenced early. Look with me at 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. 8 years old. Now, we've got some little ones here tonight. Jake, how old are you, buddy? He's 9. Stand up. Come out here in the aisle. All right? I want you to just kind of look around, just wave at everybody, all right? Okay. All right. That right there is the size. Now Jake might have been bigger because he's a good sized kid. He is roughly Josiah for us. That size right there. You can go sit down now. I appreciate that, Jake. Can you imagine him in Washington, D.C., in the Oval Office, sitting behind the desk, making the decisions for a nation? That is exactly what takes place in Judah. Now remember, the nation has already split into two. You have Judah in the south, Israel in the north. And you've got now Judah. And they have an 8-year-old boy that is their king. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that he did not have a tutor. I am not, so ignorant of those times that there were not some type of counselor that was dealing with him and saying, now, Josiah, this is why you do this. This is why you do that. And so you've got those people that are directing him, but you got to remember, he had no parental influence that was good. His granddaddy was no good. But there was something in that boy that was different. Just like there was something in David Stanford that was different. And I believe that there are times that I can look back in my own life as a little kid when I didn't have anything for God, had no desire for God. I mean, I'm like the old joke that said, like the preacher said, now I got a list of sins right here. And after the service was over, the little kid goes, "Can I look at that list?" "Well, why do you want to look at that?" "I want to see if I'm missing anything." And so, I mean, that was kind of the way that I was as a kid. But yet, I look back now and I see how that when I wanted to do something, there was something that always stopped me from doing it. I know now what it was. It was the Lord. But then when I trusted Christ, things began to come into focus. There was a clarity about it. But from the time that I was young until I trusted Christ, I now can look and still see the unseen hand of God. And I think that if you really think about it, you can see that. You can see maybe the influence of a godly parent. Josiah didn't have it, but you may have had it. It may have been the influence of a godly school teacher. I know whenever I was in elementary school, there were times that we read the Bible, especially it was the first and second grade, I think after the second grades when they kicked it out. But I remember them reading the Bible. It was a common thing for us to read Psalm 23 and Psalm 100 in my elementary class. I remember knowing that my teachers went to church. They cared about spiritual things. And I think about those influences and I'm like, yeah, I can see the hand of the Lord there. And so he is 8 years old. Now, do you know what 8 is in the scriptures? It is the number of new beginnings. 8 is the beginning of a new week. What about the number of people that were in the ark? Noah's ark, not the Ark of the Covenant that I preached about this morning. Noah's ark. There were 8 souls that were saved, and what started? The population began again. What about circumcision on the 8th day? So you have him being 8 years old, but what else happened? Well, you find that 12 years into his reign, he's about 20, you find that he begins to do some really, really good things. Well, what's 12 significant of? Well, it's a special number in the Bible. You've got 12 tribes of Israel. Each of those tribes are going to be there in the book of the Revelation, and the city of New Jerusalem, if I'm remembering this right, it's going to have 12 foundations of the apostles. You've got the 12 tribes, the 12 apostles. And so we see that this young man was influenced early. Now, I want you to notice with me verse number 2 of chapter 34. It says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father." Now, David lived 350 years earlier. And so evidently he has heard the stories of King David, and he's in the lineage of King David. But it says that he walked in the ways of David. So what's the testimony of David? He was a man after God's own heart. And so you've got him walking in the ways of David, and we see that, and it says, "He declined neither to the right hand nor to the left." A phrase that's very close to that is what's over in Kings. We'll go to Kings in a second. And so I want you to understand that it seems like that in Josiah's life, that he was following maybe vibes. He was following stories. Maybe he had heard about Goliath. Maybe he had heard about how great the kingdom was during David's time. Maybe his tutor had told him those stories. But we do know this, that his grandfather and his father had basically made Judah become a pagan nation. They had begun to let people have pagan idols all up into the groves, all in the wilderness areas. They had even taken idols and had placed them in God's house. And so you've got all of this paganism that is rampant, and it has been for two generations, but then all of a sudden, one little boy comes along, and he's just different. God touches young people, and sometimes he does it early. The great Spurgeon, who died early as well, he died when he was 60. The great Spurgeon was a young man that just, he liked to go to church. And the night that he got saved, he went to a little church. It had been snowing. He told his parents, he said, "I'd like to walk to the church that's close by." And they gave him permission. He walked in the snow, but it was snowing so bad that the preacher didn't even show up. And the preacher not showing up, that meant that somebody had to step up and do something. And so there was a deacon that was there. And so he opened up the Bible and he read a portion of Isaiah. And Spurgeon was saved that night as a 12-year-old. When he became a teenager, he still loved the Lord, served the Lord. And by the time he was in his early 20s, he was already pastoring. He never went to Bible college, but let me tell you something. Very few people have a mind like he had. Here he is. He's a young man. And I've told you about the term shadow servants. I use that sometimes with people that work in the background here at this church. I stole that from Spurgeon. Spurgeon talked about one lady that was a shadow servant. She taught a ladies' class, but she didn't start off liking him. Here he is, he's about 21, 22 years old, and this lady has two sons that are like teenagers and in their early 20s. And there's something about the way that this young man was able to just stand in the pulpit, and he was able to just captivate the other young people. And they would go home, and they would be so excited, and they would say, "Mother, you ought to go to church and hear this young man preach." "I'll not go and hear him. He is immature. I'll not go and listen to him, not until he gets some more age on him." And finally, they became so insistent that she at least visit with them that she said, "Okay, I will go." And she walked into the tabernacle. She heard a young 21, 22-year-old preacher open the Word of God and expound it in a way that she had never heard before. And for the next 50 years, she was there. She taught a ladies' class, and it was said that when she died, that there were over 400 women that came to her funeral that she had ministered to. Many of them were women that had come off the streets of London, and she had led them to Christ. But it was because there was a young man that God had touched the same way that God used Josiah. And so he was influenced early. But I want you to remember this. He always had integrity. Look at the latter part of our verse. It says that he declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Have you ever known of anybody that was up and down, all around, in and out of God's work? Oh, I've seen that. I mean, in the last 2 years, I've seen people come into this church, and I mean, they are just on it for about 3 seconds. And the next thing you know, you can't find them. I mean, it's like, man, they come in like gangbusters. But again, Dr. Hudson used to say this, you can't tell how much gas is in the tank by the toot of the horn. Everybody that comes in talking about loving God and talking about how that they're excited to serve God and I'm glad that God's going to let me serve in this place. Next thing you know, you look around and go, where'd they go to? In the last 12 months, we have had two men that I can think of that were all excited about the Lord. They came in and they joined, and I mean, they were great for about 5 weeks, and the next thing you know, nobody can find them. They're gone. But this young man, when he began to feel as though God was directing him a certain way, And he had that tutor that was directing him. He didn't waffle this way into paganism or that way into idolatry. No, he began to focus on the ways of David, his father. And so he always was a person of integrity. I think that if we are people of integrity, that means that we're conscious about how we try to live. We are conscious about how we represent the Lord. One of the things that the Apostle Paul, I think, told the Corinthian people, he said, you are living epistles. In other words, you're the only Bible that some people will ever read. Now, can you imagine what the people of Judah thought when you've got this young man that started when he was 8, and they're going, well, he doesn't act like normal 8-year-olds. I wonder in private how he acted. And then when he got to be 12, and then when he got to be 16, and then when he got to be 20, and they're going, you know, there's something different about our king. He's certainly not like his daddy was, and he wasn't like his granddaddy was. He's just different. And you and I, we ought to be different in the way that we live. Why? Because that difference is what draws people to Christ if it's a good different. We ought to be kind in the way that we speak to people. I saw David Gibbs give this testimony. He was talking about how that he had a long day. He had gone to the hotel that night, and when he got there, they had made all the reservations, and they are very meticulous with that. When David Gibbs preached for us several years ago, I mean, it was like he had a team. I think there was 3 guys that came with him, and I mean, it was like bam, 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 bam. I mean, they had it. It was on. Well, he's at this hotel. They have made all these reservations, and then when he gets there, there is a young lady that is behind the desk. She gives him all of his stuff. He goes up to the room, and all of a sudden, the bathroom does not work. And he calls down, he's mad, he calls down to the front desk and said, now I called and I made sure that this was going to be right, and I'm here, and the tub's not even working right in this room. Well, Mr. Gibbs, I am so sorry. Well, then he decided that he would order room service. Well, that didn't come. So he called back and he starts berating this girl again. And finally, he is so mad that he goes downstairs. He said, I'm going to go tell her to her face. He goes down and this girl looks at him and says, Brother Gibbs, I know all about your ministry. I have supported your ministry. I'm just a college student, but when I get a little bit extra money, I try to give to you because you have been such a blessing to so many people. And he said, here I am, a grown man that's trying to, you know, supposedly serve God, and I took out my frustration on a young girl that had nothing to do with the bathtub and nothing to do with the room service. He said, I took it out on her, and then all of a sudden, she is so kind to me. He said, I went from being a big man to feeling about that tall. Why? Because I was not kind when I should have been. You and I, we need to realize this. We ought to be people of integrity, and the way that we treat people is important. I don't know how many times my wife has said something like this. When somebody is slow, they would say, oh, we're so sorry. Don't worry about it, honey. It's okay. And I'm thinking, well, I'd like to have my fork about 5 minutes ago. It's all right. Don't you worry about that at all. We're fine. And I'm just like, okay, make me look bad. All right? And so you've got Josiah, and he was always a young man of integrity. Number 3, real quick. I want you to see the instruction that he received. Go to 2 Kings 22. Oh, let's pick up in verse 8. Now, beginning the first seven verses is basically what we just rehashed over in 2 Chronicles. Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Now imagine this. You've got religious men, high priest. He finally finds a scroll that's sitting over in the corner somewhere. And what is the scroll that he finds? Well, it is the Torah. It's the book of the law. It is the first five books of Moses. Another word for it is the Pentateuch. And so you've got Hilkiah the high priest, and he says unto Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law. And he said, okay, that's great. And Shaphan, he reads it. All right, I want you to look now at verse number 10. I'm not going to get into the finances part here, but basically the priest had been collecting money, and Josiah said, all right, let's go have an accounting. Let's start getting the work of God done on his house. So Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest delivered me a book or scroll. Shaphan read it before the king, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. In other words, there had been a dearth of the word of God. They had not been having Sabbath services. You don't find where that the people of God had been coming together. Why? Because they were acting like pagans in the groves. They're acting like pagans in the hilltops. They're acting like pagans everywhere. And so there has been no true worship of God for now two previous kings. You got Manasseh, you got his son, and now you've got this young man. And for the first time, he hears the word of God. And he begins to hear what he's supposed to be doing. And it convicts him so much that he literally takes his hands and he rips his royal clothing. He rents his clothes. And so we see that when he does that, then he says, I want you to go and inquire of the Lord for me. Inquire of the Lord for the people, for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for it, or for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that was written concerning us. In other words, he's hearing about how that if we live right, God will bless us. If we live wrong, which is what we are doing right now as a people, God will judge us. And so he received that instruction. And you and I, we ought to receive the instruction. How do you do that? By getting into the book, by studying the book, by meditating on it, contemplating it, to use the old English word, to muse on it. And so you've got this young man, and he received the instruction. Now, one final thing about why we should serve the Lord every day. The reason we ought to serve the Lord every day is because we never know when we have our last day. Now, we've got some folks that have some age on them, but can I tell you that I have had funerals with all ages? I think about some of the funerals that I have had. I have had newborn babies that I've had funerals for. I've had two-year-olds that I've had funerals for. Four-year-olds that I've had funerals for. 10-year-olds that I've had funerals for. 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds. Now, one of the promises that God made to Josiah, there was a woman, and she was called a prophetess. You had some ladies that were prophetesses in the Old Testament, and even in the early part of the early church, like Philip's daughters, they would be able to prophesy certain things. That office has now been done away with. It has ceased. It's one of those cessation gifts. But you had Huldah, and she was a prophetess, and this is what she said. She said, God is going to bring judgment upon Judah. But you tell the king that it won't be in his life. He will not see it and break his heart. He'll be gone by then. And around the time that he was 39 to 40 years of age, he is fighting against, I think it was Egypt. I think it was one of the pharaohs. I think it's Pharaoh Necho, I think is what it was. And he is killed in battle. And he's buried in a sepulcher in Jerusalem. It wouldn't be too long before the Babylonians would come. And they would roll in and they would take people like Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. They would be taken captivity. Josiah never saw that. He never had his heart broken. The Lord took him early. God sometimes takes people early. I told you that Spurgeon died at 60. David Brainerd died 29 years old. He suffered all of his life. He had brothers and sisters that died early. His parents were sickly people. He was so sickly that nobody really wanted to give him much of a shot as far as ministry. He made the statement. He said, I think that the professors and the faculty of Yale, they need to be born again, which didn't sit well with them. They bounced him. If you didn't have a degree from Yale back then, you couldn't get into a pulpit. And finally, there was a mission organization to the American Indians. And Brainerd started just riding on horseback. Ultimately, he died of tuberculosis in the home of Jonathan Edwards. 29 years old. But I don't know of a missionary alive that has not been influenced by a 29-year-old man. We've certainly been influenced by Josiah's testimony in the scripture. When the word of God was finally into his life, he never swerved this way, that way. He was always on the straight and narrow. We ought to have a testimony like Josiah. We ought to have a testimony like David Stanford. I hope that'll be our testimony.